everyone nationwide, straight across Canada, back on SiriusXM Channel 167. So good to be back with you live tonight, 7 p.m., not 9 p.m. Hey, how about this? And we got a show lined up for you tonight. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the Racetime Radio studio. You all set and ready to go there, champ?
All fired up.
Yeah, good weekend for you.
Heck of a weekend. It was a lot of fun. It's not as busy as we planned it to be heading into it.
Yeah.
I think we covered that off last week. But, you know, it shook out and evened out the way that, you know, it was good for us.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You were at UCASA with DJ Kennington, and I was at Sunset Speedway with Paul Grizzell and the folks from Sauble Speedway and APC. And, man, oh, man, what a weekend. We got lots to cover off tonight. Let me tell you who we've got coming on this show, because I'm telling you, it's a busy one, and we are going to have a little bit of time to open the phone lines up and hear from you and get some of your opinion of what you grabbed over the course of the weekend. Kicking it all off tonight, how about this? Jason Hathaway, driver the number 3 for Kubota Canada and Ed Hackinson Racing. How about this guy again, Junior? 50% of the NASCAR Pinty's races in 2020 are owned and won by Jason Hathaway. He did it again yesterday at UCASA, at least for the first 125.
Yeah, definitely. The Kubota team, you know, had a stellar season. Obviously, a different appearing season. You know, there was three tracks, you know, consisted of the NASCAR Pinty Series schedule for 2020. They were all oval tracks, and I would, you know, I would put Jason Hathaway as you know, in the top three of oval drivers in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He, you know, absolutely lights the lamp every time he hits the racetrack. And that entire team has built some incredible speed on, you know, fast ovals and the slower ovals as well. So they're able to, you know, they've got range and they've got distance. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a quarter mile or a 3/8 or a half mile or a 5/8. They are top of the board or within the top three in practice, in qualifying, and in the race on speed charts. And if everything goes their way, which, I mean, not everything has went their way in this series.
Right.
They've controlled their destiny, though, and you know, hats off to them, because they were incredible. Every time the Pinty Series hit the racetrack, not just racing, but in qualifying or in practice, with every hot lap session, the three team just, you know, rockets. And, you know, hats off to them. They executed and got it done.
Well, Jason Hathaway is going to be our first guest. I know Susie is going to have him up on the hotline in mere moments. We'll also hear from DJ Kennington, driver of the 17 Castrol Edge Dodge. It was twin 125s yesterday at UCASA to wrap up 2020 for the Pinty Series. And it was DJ Kennington back in victory lane for the second 125. We'll hear from DJ tonight. Then we're going to go off to Andy Kamrath, driver of the Oscar Modified number 89 car. And I'll tell you what, that machine was a rocket again at Sunset Speedway yesterday. Six in a row for young Andy Kamrath. He's getting the job done in that modified. He's going to join the show, of course, sponsored by London Recreational and a bunch more. We'll hear from Andy tonight. Then off to the U.S. we're going to go. And Grant Enfinger took that champion Thor Sport Ford to victory lane at Richmond on Friday night. Grant Enfinger will join us, of course, heading into the playoffs. Bristol is up next for the truck series. We'll hear from Grant live tonight. Off to the East Coast we'll go after Grant Enfinger. And the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour got under the green flag for the first time in 2020. The 53 of Cole Butcher goes to victory lane. Familiar face at a familiar place. Scotia Speed World, the scene for race number 1. And we're going to hear from Cole tonight. Then New Brunswick is where we'll head. We'll catch up with the driver of the number 2, Ashton Tucker. He, of course, won the iconic Remax 250 just a week ago. And we unable to catch up with Ashton last week. He didn't win it until after the show was over. So we're going to have Ashton Tucker in the house tonight. And we will go all the way to the other end of the country and bring in Brandon Carlson that won the iconic, historic Canada 200 at Western Speedway that was carried live on Rev and on Chex. You may have caught the show. If you didn't, you're still going to get an opportunity on Rev throughout the course of the week. And you're going to hear from Brandon tonight, driver of the number 14 from out there. So that's who we got in line for you tonight. And how about we get to it? It's going to be a busy show, so let's get to it right away. And we'll bring in the guy that won the Man Cave Challenge for Pinty's in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He went 50% wins this year. Just amazing season for the number three of Jason Hathaway. He joins us on the hotline. Jay, I told you in a text earlier today, I'm going to put you a seat right here in the studio, man. Good job.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I'll take the seat. No problem. I know my way up north.
Good deal. So, a good day at Jocassa for you. It sounds like things were firing on all cylinders. How did it go? Where did you qualify? And, of course, you ended up in victory lane for race number one.
Yeah, it was good. We drew, I think it was fifth. I think it was fifth or sixth, something like that. And for the first one, and ended up racing pretty hard at the beginning there. Everybody was kind of getting after the lead there right off the hop. I think we took the lead, I don't know, midway through the race, I guess it was, and kind of checked out. It went green the rest of the way, which was great for our car and the way we run things, the way we set it up. So we kind of checked out on everyone and ended up getting the win right off the first one there to pad a few points and get ready for the second one.
So what does it do now, Jay? You're the man cave, the Pinty's
fan
man
cave.
Fan cave. Sorry.
Fan cave.
Fan cave, man cave. When I think of Pinty's, I think of the man cave. So you won it, though, Jay. It was a challenge this year. It's not a championship, the traditional NASCAR Pinty Series championship. Of course, it wasn't a full season, but it's got to feel great to get that under your belt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Is the Stanley Cup really a real Stanley Cup this year? I mean, that's the question in all sports right now. But it's still a championship. It's a NASCAR championship. I don't know, a six-race series, you got no room for error versus a 12-race series. So I don't know. I can debate that with anybody, whoever wants to, as long as they want to. And I'm going to commit that a six-race series and short tracks in Ontario with some of the best racers in Canada. Whatever you're doing, if you're winning, you're doing something special.
100%, and it is our championship for the 2020 season, right? It is the NASCAR Pinty's
exactly.
Championship. So
exactly.
every time you hit the racetrack, you guys unloaded. I kind of alluded to it that your program, Ovals, it's no secret. Ovals is your niche in the NASCAR Pinty series. You guys have incredible speed when you guys hit the ovals. Over the past 2 years, you guys have even increased that, and picking up some incredible accolades at some of the toughest short tracks across the board. With everything that took place, from the drop of the green flag at Sunset Speedway to the drop of the final checkered flag at Jocassa, you guys were in the hunt. That has to really have a lot of impact heading into what 2021 can be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've been, our oval program has been strong, even going back to last year, and just continuing on this year. And like you said, Joe, it's no secret. Our oval program is real strong, even back when Cole Powell was with our program in a few years ago. So, for me personally, I mean, I love the short tracks. Everyone knows it, and longer the better. So give me a 300-lap race versus a 125, and we'll have even more fun. But it's just the way our car's set up and the way I like to drive. And don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the road racing too, but we have so much talent on the road race side where I just, I don't compete for wins on the road courses. I compete for top fives, usually more on the higher side of the top five. So, my average finish last year on road courses was 6.1. So throw in a couple road courses there, a couple more ovals, I think you may have the same champion at the end of the day.
Yep, 100%. I agree with that.
Wedge Flamborough Speedway into the schedule this year. Totally brand new, really, to you and the number three team. Totally new to everybody, or at least most guys. What was that like as an experience? And do you sort of hope and pray that we'll find a Flamborough Speedway on a 2021 schedule?
I don't see any reason why we couldn't look at that as a racetrack that we could go to in our series. I think it's an Ontario-based racetrack that has lots of heritage. You know, that racetrack, it's relatively close for most teams. I'm not going to say all teams. And looking the way things went this year with the whole pandemic and everything that's going on, there's no reason why we can't go to racetracks outside some of the ones that we always went to. I mean, I think we got to look outside the box, and as long as we have the NASCAR 50 Series drivers and TSN and some of our media partners like yourself, Joe, I don't see why we shouldn't look at any racetrack that's available and wants to bring in the show for their fans once we bring the fans back.
We're with Jason Hathaway tonight. He did go to Victory Lane in the NASCAR Pinty Series finale at Chukasa Speedway just yesterday. He did a masterful job in race number one, and he's got the championship. He's got the title. Junior, that's what everybody wanted. Only one guy ended up coming away with it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Jay, we had a little bit of a bench racing deal. There was obviously a little bit of time between the, after the draw and after practice, in between the race. And we were all sitting there, you know, there was quite a few of us from the DJK team. And, you know, we were kind of having like a little bit of a bench racing session. You know, the NASCAR Pinty Series has awarded an oval championship, if you will, and a road course championship over the past couple of years. It's not necessarily a big portion of what the championship is, because the champion gets all the you know, admiration and all the excitement. Do you think that this, what this season was, is going to lead to more of a separation between those two championships in the future?
I mean, truthfully, there wasn't a lot of attention put onto that, I feel.
Yeah.
We had it. It was great. I'm not against it. I think we could have done a better job as teams and series, and sponsors to promote it a little bit more.
Agreed.
It actually does have more feeling to it when it is awarded. You know, I don't see why we couldn't. It's sort of, you know, it kind of falls into type of a chase deal, you know, a bit of sort of has that feel. So anything to bring some more awareness to the series and the teams and sponsors is always wanted. And we need it. We need it. So it's, bring it on. If we can think of three more things like that, let's do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if there's a banquet this year, which I don't think there is. But I'm damn well going to have one. We'll figure out where it's going to be.
We'll do it at Eddie's shop. What do you think? We'll have a good time. You got him his birthday present, so maybe, just maybe, Eddie can turn around and fire something up there, and we'll all come down.
He told me about 10 years ago, if I ever win the championship, he's not going to the banquet because it's in Charlotte, because he wants a Canadian banquet. Well, he's going to have one this year.
That's right.
Isn't that too cool? Jay, when we look forward, look down that line to 2021, add back in CTMP, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, to kick it off with Victoria Fest, and the trucks come in near the end of the year, and we put in Three Rivers, and we put in, how about the dirt race that didn't happen this year, that I hope to hell happens next year over at Oswego? Add all that in. 2021, man, has got to be something that absolutely all of us look forward to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think everybody's already chomping at the bit already. I mean, I had two calls from my guys this morning wanting to know if we could unload the hauler. I'm like, oh, yeah. God, no. Stay home. See your family. We'll get it next week. But, you know, it's we got lots to look forward to in 2021 in the NASCAR 50 Series. And you know, a lot of sponsors have stayed with the programs. You know, a lot of teams, Kennington with Castro, myself with Kubota, and JR coming back with some new sponsorship into the series, and you know, Tag with his sponsor. So, I mean, Dumoulin as well. There's lots of guys. Lacroix, I mean, I could go down the list. But Larry Jackson picked up a new one. So we need the media attention. We need the series attention through the winter. I think there's nothing but positives to look forward to in 2021.
Well, you can guarantee support from this side of the planet. You can count on it, Jay. All winter long, all off season, we'll be building into 2021. Final question for you. Do we take a fork now, stick it in you, you're done, no more racing? Or are we going to see you surface at maybe, let's see, Flamborough Speedway, October the 3rd? Or even rumblings that Autumn Colors Classic is going to be a go for 2020? Are we going to see you again, maybe surfacing something else?
I'll never say no, but I hardly doubt it right now, Joe. We got a lot going on with we're building a new building at our place there, and we got some stuff going on there with work and everything. So I doubt it. I mean, I would love to run the Riverside race, which everyone knows that racetrack has ever been there. It's one of the greatest facilities in Canada. So it's something I'd love to do, but we can't get out there because of the whole pandemic too. So we maybe just bunker down from now on till the end of the, till the start of next season with races. But you never know what'll happen.
Well, you enjoy that championship that you took this year and earned. And trust me when I say, if Eddie goes to do anything, please do me a favor and give Junior and I a little heads up. It'd be kind of cool to do it on a Sunday night and do it live and share it with the rest of the country like Eddie used to wanted to do.
Yeah, that's no problem. We'll, like I said, we'll have something, and I just haven't put it all together yet. But I can feel my wife rolling her eyes right now. More work for her. But we'll let you know for sure. And great win yesterday too, Joe, by you guys and DJ there in the second race. So kind of cool to have him win and me the championship the same day. So
it was all spotter.
Exactly. You guys are all the same.
Hey, there was a familiar face yesterday wearing an EHR shirt, and I was talking to him, and he said that he built a race shop over the and a house there. You know who I'm talking about, but there's gonna be a familiar face jump back into a racing series of some kind coming up. He wouldn't allude to what he was building or what he was getting into, but Brian, we were talking yesterday, and by the sounds of it, he's building the race team up there.
Yeah, he's everything. You never know. There's always changing things that go on around where we are. So you always got to stay tuned week by week. Everything changes so fast with the group we got around it. So.
I put you on the spot there, just so you know.
Yeah, exactly. I can feel it.
Yeah, there you go.
Congrats, well, man.
Congratulations on the title, Jason Hathaway, and we thank you so much for your time. You've been gracious all summer long. We appreciate it, and I know we look forward to getting you back on in the off season to poke and prod and see what's happening.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for everything you guys do, and it's always great to get on with you.
You betcha. That's Jason Hathaway, driver of that number 3 for Kubota Canada, EHR. Just a dynamite team, Junior, and those guys got the job done this year. Kind of cool when the plan comes together. And Jay, really, we talked to him before everything started unrolling, and we already knew he was going to be fast because he finished 19 real fast. Look at what he ended up doing.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at that entire program, they didn't just show up with their car at the racetrack this year. They showed up with 4 cars.
Really?
At every single one of those races. So, they operated. Sure, there was a total of 6 races. But when you look at it, it was 6 times 4 for those guys. And Hathaway is very hands-on in that entire program. Dexter Stacy and Connor James, we can't not mention Connor James when you talk about Penny Series. He jumped in the deep end this year and really laid down some really good results at Sunset Speedway. Didn't have the finishes that he wanted at Jocassa and Flamborough, but that EHR team, with the Ford of the Ford number 8 car, they did a good job this year. And Hathaway definitely put a lot of work into that season and hats off and congratulations to him. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. Well, speaking of busy guys, and good to see our next guest back in Victory Lane at Jocassa for the second 125 yesterday. Pressure was on for the 17 Castrol-Edge Dodge of DJ Kennington. Pressure was on. He responded to that pressure and drove that car to Victory Lane. He's on the hotline. What's going on tonight there, champ? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's my Joe buddies doing tonight?
We're doing good.
Both of us. Both of us. And I call you a champ because you are a two-time champion in the NASCAR Pindy Series. You didn't do it this year, but, man, you got the victory. That's what you wanted to do yesterday. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, 100%. We've been playing home all year, and we've missed it on a few occasions. But yesterday on Saturday was awesome. I mean, the Castro Edge Hot Rod was good all day. It was good from the get-go, and we were able to finish off the second one and finally get back to victory lane, which is pretty sweet. I am not going to lie to you.
DJ, what did you have to do to that 17 car? Because I know you did struggle in a couple races this year. Was that just a byproduct of R&D maybe? Or why the struggle before and such a dominating performance in race two yesterday? Sounds like we're going to be in for a good one on TSN when it hits here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we started off the year, I tried one of our older cars at Sunset, and I thought maybe we had things figured out with it. You hate leaving equipment just sitting there, and it was we've gone through the car top to bottom, and it was basically a brand new car. Whitey put a WMI, put a new front half on it, and we thought we had the thing figured out pretty good. We tried it and tested it at Jakarta, and it worked pretty good. Well, we went to Sunset, and the thing was a wheelbarrow. I couldn't get it to do anything I wanted it to do. So we came home and regrouped and went back to our car that we'd run the last couple of years full time. So I did a bunch of work on it and just took some time. I mean, just stepped back, honestly, and tried not to smart myself for a change. And we did a bunch of stuff to it that was just back to the basics. And it definitely came to life. And a lot of people I've talked to about different parts and pieces and brake pads and stuff like that. And John Fletcher and the Kludes helped us out with a bunch of stuff. And it was just a collaborated effort that came down to the thing running like a raped ape in the last couple races there. And honestly, the first one to the game, I think we probably had a good shot at winning it as well. And we had a brake issue there in the first one. And the right front brake caliper was on the whole race, so it was couldn't figure out why the engine was getting hot, and I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't run down the straightaways, and then I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't turn. So it ended up being the brake caliper. We fixed that at the brake. The guys did a great job. I got such a great group of guys. I mean, like, they'd take a bullet for me, and I can't say enough about them. I mean, those brakes were so freaking hot after that. They dug right in there and changed them and got everything ready to go for the second one, and the hard work paid off.
And new changes this year, too, I might add, DJ, for you and that 17 Castro crew. We had a different guy on top of the pit box. You swung things around, and kind of cool when you can put that together and still have success, because teams do struggle when personnel changes. Chemistry is everything in this game.
Oh, 100%. Our guys are... I mean, Junior will tell you, we got such a great group of guys. We take it very seriously, but we have fun at it. And I think that's the whole key, the chemistry. And Rick and Christopher Byrne, they're awesome. They kind of, Rick eats, breathes this stuff just like we do. And he has been out helping in the shop. And Scotty Sands and Doug Thorne and Doug Dave, I got such a great group. Brandon, you just can't thank everybody enough that, come and help us every week. They've been coming to the shop during the week at night. And I think that's what it takes. It's just everybody working together. And once it does come together, it makes things a lot better. So with such a crazy year and so on for Castrol and Will Ride and Cathcart and Canyon Linen, CIM Metals, everybody that helps us out, Mopar. I mean, it just all came together and finally got us a checkered flag, and that's what it's all about. Even my spotter, I mean, he wasn't even that bad on the weekend.
Usually it's shut up, spotter. Yesterday
it
sounded
more. It was shut up yesterday, too.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. It would shut up and then talk more, right? It was shut up and talk more, shut up, talk more. That's kind of how yesterday went.
We had our issues yesterday, but our normal. We worked through them.
Absolutely. 100%. It was a lot of fun watching everything, kind of take place. And, you kind of touched on it, the team aspect. With DJK Racing, and it was like this last year with Andrew Ranger and DJ
partnered up. It the team doesn't have, you know, a like Rick is the crew chief listed on the entry blank, right?
Right.
But everybody on the team, if there was anything that needed to be done, it gets done. And that's the difference between, you know, and that's part of the chemistry portion as well. It's not like there's one person that's pointing the finger and doing this, do this.
Right.
The team, if there was anything that needs to get done, then they tackle it and get it done collectively. And
awesome.
It's something that's really neat. You know, when you look at chemistry, that's pure chemistry. It's a lot of fun to be a part of, DJ, and I know that, you know, looking forward into 2021, obviously Pinty's is your game, and you know that's the core of what DJK Racing is right now, but you also have the late model program that's been really stout for the first couple races at the beginning of the season. Now that it is over, we know that there is the APC series coming up at Jukasa, where you ran really well at race number one at. And then as well, Flamborough Speedway is running a pro late show too. Will we see the 28 car unloaded towards the end of the year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be running Jukasa for sure. But to see how we make out there, I mean, the following weekend, I do believe, is the race at Flamborough. So we might not have anything left after that one. But if we go to the Jukasa and have a good day, then we'll probably go support the guys at Flamborough. I mean, they've done a lot this year to help, you know, a lot of series and the racing around here in Ontario, and a great little facility and so on. And it's always great for me just to put Castrol Edge on the side of that thing and go racing. So looking forward to that as well. And like you say, just touching on the guys, I mean, you know, even our 28 car ran so good. Jason White did a great job yesterday. First race, we missed it a little bit for him. But Doug, Dave, and Brandon there, they made a bunch of changes on that thing that I told him to make, and Jason almost got himself a top five there. He ran up front all day in the second 125, which is great for him. Another guy that supported the series and racing in Canada for a long time, and he's got some exciting news coming up. I'm not going to mention it, but I'm sure you'll be talking to him. And just another guy that's a great racer and a great guy to top it off, and fits in perfect with our group. And I don't know how other to explain it, and it's a lot of fun to go racing with these guys. That's the part I've missed the most about all of it, is the time with the boys and the fun times that we have. And man, we make fun of each other. We're mean to each other. It's just a bunch of guys being basically a bunch of jerks, and we have a whole lot of fun at it.
That's right. 100%.
That's a good way to put it. DJ, is there any translation other than the momentum coming off the big win at Jukasa yesterday? Anything that you learn in that Pinty's car that will sort of adapt itself over to either the APC series or late model special, any of that information sort of go over?
You know, it's hard to say. I know one thing for sure is that I really like winning. So I hopefully that translates into the other car as well. I had a lot of fun doing it, so hopefully we can do it again. But other than that, I mean, you know, setup-wise and so on, late model, the Pinty's cars are so different. They take so much different driving style. And those guys in the APC series, they're good, and they're tough to race with, and I have a lot of fun racing with all of them too. So hopefully we can get out there, have some fun, and see if we can't get the Castrol Edge number 28 out front. Try to get ourselves another checkered flag at Jukasa. I kind of started to like that place a little bit.
No kidding.
Well, you get to savor this victory as you did to end 2019, or was that 2018? Yeah, it was.
Yep.
The last time I was at the track. Anyway, you get to savor this victory now right through to the beginning of 2021, and good on you for doing it. We look forward to hopefully seeing you in some of these late model shows in between now and the end of the season for everybody. But that was kind of cool. I know we look forward to TSN and getting the whole picture on it. When it comes out, I can guarantee you we'll be tuned in. DJ, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Like I say, it's just a lot of hard work from a lot of people, and obviously Castrol, even in these trying times, to stick behind us and still want to do this and so on. One of the first messages I got on my phone after was Dave Fifield from Winfield and Castrol saying, congratulations, and make sure you pass it on to the guys. And that's what it's all about. I mean, without those guys, none of us go racing. So I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. And I'm sure we'll be talking soon, Joe. I just wish there was a way you could get our radioactive and play it on your show, because I think that would be a pretty good show.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of beeping, I bet.
No, no, we don't curse.
No?
No.
No, we come up with really ingenuity or really, really intuitive ways to use curse words without using curse words.
Well, I can hear DJ already saying intuitive. That's a big word for you, Junior.
Well, I stumbled over it when I said it, but that's okay.
He usually stumbles over most of the time, especially when there's a caution or something.
Yellow's out.
Yeah, don't go that way.
That was just about
really
big.
Good. He's really good at that, you know. He just starts going, good job, good job. don't know what I'd do without you, Spotter.
Oh, too much fun, buddy. I can't wait. I can't wait for 2021, but I can't wait to catch you in your next late model race. I know you guys would be a hoot. I get a chance to scan in. That'll be fun.
Sounds good to me, boys.
You betcha. That's DJ Kennington, driver of that 17 Castrol Edge Dodge. Another victory for one of the most winning drivers in the NASCAR Pinty Series. Hey, we're up alongside break number one. When we come back, how about a guy from Alabama? We got Grant Enfinger coming up on this show. He's all loaded and ready to go for the playoffs in the Gander Truck Series. He's coming off a victory at Richmond. He's coming on Racetime Radio next. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Wheelhouse bringing us back. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio live tonight, Sirius XM Channel 167. That's right, we are back for the first time since the pandemic. We are actually live back on the air. Got to thank everybody back in Toronto at Sirius XM 167 Canada Talks for getting it all geared up and getting us all wired. Sure feels good to be back. Let's get back to the hotline. Let's welcome in, one of our true friends down south. He went to Victory Lane once again at Richmond just on Friday night. Talk about being set and ready to go for the playoffs. Grant Enfinger in that champion ThorSport Ford has got to be smiling ear to ear tonight. Welcome him in. What's going on there, Mr. Enfinger? How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on again, Joe. And, like you mentioned, there was some really great momentum going into the playoffs with our victory on Thursday night.
Take us back through the race, buddy. I thought it was Friday night. Me and my thoughts, so many things happening. Take us back through the race. Grant, how was it for you? Sounds like it was a real nail-biter. I did miss it.
At the end of the day, it was we had the truck that you kind of always dream about. It it was good on the short run, good on the long run. We started fifth, ran pretty much towards the front most of the day. Was battling really hard with my teammate Ben Rhodes. Right off the bat, going into the third stage, we had just put tires on and we were kind of battling it out for the lead. And he got into my left rear a little bit and we got a big tire rub and actually had to pit under green, and we only had one set of tires left. So we didn't pit or we didn't take tires at that point, but we did come in under green to pull that fender out and lost the lap. But anyway, at the end of the day, that was definitely the race winning call there for Jeff Hensley, because it was way too early to put tires on. We rode around there a lap down. And able to work our way up and got the lucky dog, and a caution came out and able to put tires on and drive from the back all the way to the front and is able to get by Kraft in there with seven or eight laps to go there at the end. I kind of got around them on used a lap car to my advantage and able to seal home to the victory after that. But really the biggest thing is man, we had speed in our Champion Power Equipment F-150, and honestly, like we've had a good year, but man, as of late, the last month and a half or 2 months has been a little bit of a rough stretch for us. So it was great to have some good momentum, and not just a good result with a win, but to have good speed. So hopefully, we can carry that momentum and that speed onto the playoffs.
And how cool is that? That Jeff Hensley, man, that guy never, ever stops thinking, does he? On top of that box, he's always got to be like four or five steps ahead of everybody else, and he manages to do it each and every time. And to have a 1-2-3 finish for ThorSport, Duke and Rhonda got to be over the top and just loving the results.
Definitely. Duke was pretty pumped up after the race, and that's the first time that's happened in the truck series. So, definitely, blessed to be part of ThorSport Racing, but really cool when you have a special night like that, and to be a part of that is a really big deal. So, man, that's pretty cool in itself to have the first organization in the truck series to have a 1-2-3 finish. And what better organization for it to be than ThorSport, who's been around here pretty much since the beginning of the truck series. This is our 25th year in the series, so pretty cool night.
Grant, have you spent a whole lot of time at Richmond? It doesn't seem like a track where, like with all the other series and everything, how many times have you been to Richmond?
So that was my first time racing at Richmond.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know, unfortunately, it hasn't been on the truck schedule
exactly
lately. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Jeff Hensley was actually the crew chief of the race winning truck the last time the trucks went there, but that was 15 years ago with Mike Skinner.
That information doesn't carry over very well.
but fortunately, he's adapted well. Hopefully it ends up sticking on the schedule. I really hope that Darlington and Richmond stick on the truck schedule, which Richmond was scheduled already, before the pandemic and all that craziness happened. So, hopefully that one sticks. It is what I would consider a true short track. I mean, it's 3/4 mile, but it races and drives like a true short track. You're conserving tires and brakes and trying to keep it rolling the whole time. Whereas a lot of the places that we go in the truck series, we're in the gas a lot. Well, we had to pedal it on Thursday night there at Richmond.
Now, Grant, you guys will not be ending it at Homestead Miami Speedway like we're used to seeing everything wrap up at the end of the year. You're going to wrap it up at Phoenix. It is another one of those, let's call it short tracks. Is there anything from Richmond that would sort of lend itself well to when you come into a place like, out in Phoenix? Is there any sort of similarities that you could say, hey, we're going to have to remember that for the final one?
You know, there's definitely some similarities. Richmond is a lot more of a tire wear track, whereas Phoenix is not as much. But the loads are very similar. Actually, the tracks drive somewhat similar. It's just Richmond has a lot less grip. But it's actually the same exact tires that we ran on in Richmond. We will have again in Phoenix. It's actually, there's some similarities between Richmond and Gateway, which we raced at a few weeks ago as well in Phoenix. So, we tried to utilize both of those, times to learn. And to help us for that championship race, and I feel like we have. I feel like that was kind of mission accomplished as far as that goes. But man, there's a lot more work to do to make sure we get to Richmond. So we've definitely got our work cut out for us there. But man, just blessed to have this group of guys at Thorsport Racing. We're right at going on 4 years working together, which with all these same guys. So. Pretty cool to be able to enjoy some of the success with guys that early on. You know, we had a lot of struggles, and even recently we've had struggles. But it's pretty cool when you go through the highs and lows with guys to be a little bit on top right now for the near future. Anyway, until we get to Bristol, we're living in the clouds. So it's cool. I feel like I appreciate those moments more. After we've shared some of those heartaches as well.
Well, and you know what? You've earned absolutely everything. Everything that's come your way, Grant Enfinger. You've done it the honest way. You've done it through, hard work, grit, elbow grease, if you will. You guys have done it, and so cool to see. While I think of it, I want to congratulate Austin Hill. He is the points champion to the regular season. And you know what that's all about, Grant, because you were the guy last year. Wasn't it last year you were the points champion?
Yep.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to win the regular season championship last year. And yeah, like you mentioned, Austin did it this year. And, man, there's really quite a host of guys that can make a run for this championship. And really it's a matter of who gets hot and wins. But fortunate to have two of my teammates in there. Ben and Matt are both in there. So hopefully we can get all three of our F-150s into that championship at Phoenix. And our work's going to be cut out for us. There's 10 guys in the playoff field this year, which is, they upped it. It has been 8 in years past, but it's 10 this year. So, be a little bit, more of an elimination factor after the second round. But man, it's probably a good thing they did that because, man, this year the truck series has been stacked. It is, we've had a lot of, of trucks each and every week, and a lot of really good quality trucks. So 16, 18 guys each and every week that they could potentially win a race. So I feel like the Truck Series is really competitive right now. And, man, just appreciative to the opportunities. God has put me in a lot of opportunities in life, and man, I'm just appreciative of the one we're in right now, and I'm trying to enjoy every minute of it.
With Grant Enfinger tonight, he went to victory lane at Richmond just Thursday night in that Gander Truck Series, NASCAR Gander Truck Series. Grant, look at last year in positioning heading into the playoffs versus this year, the position you're in right now. You found some speed, and that's what you needed to do. How's the feeling heading into those playoffs and knowing Bristol is right there, that is your next race? You like the spot you're in this year versus what you were last year?
You know, Joe, that's a good question. I feel like last year we had the consistency down. You know, we struggled finding victory lane last year. We ended up with a zero in the win column, which is never a good thing. But, man, we were consistent. It seems like even if we had an off day, we could still sneak in a top five, you know, at the end and good stage points. And, man, this year, Joe, we've struggled getting stage points. I bet 60-70% of the races this year we haven't gotten not one stage point. And it seems like especially without our practicing, you know, we may start a little bit off, or if we didn't have a good result the week before, you know, we've kind of dug ourselves a hole in track position and stuff like that. But we find a way to get good or at least decent by the end of the race. That is something we excel at, I feel like. But this season has been a little hit or miss for us. So I feel like it's important that we had the speed that we did at Richmond, because like I said, we've been a little bit lacking in that department. So I feel like we've learned some stuff. I feel like specifically recently we've learned some stuff, not only what to do, but also what not to do. So I feel better in some instances and worse in others. But what I think the difference in this year and last year for us is I'm 100% confident if we just worry about us and we show up with the best we have, we can absolutely beat anybody else at their best. I feel like when we are operating at full strength, we can beat everybody else in the Truck Series when they're operating at full strength. So we just have to focus on that, focus on ourselves and really not miss it, you know, not make any mistakes. I can't be speeding down pit road at Bristol or get caught up in a wreck or anything like that. We've got to show up and be right and be close. But man, I feel like the sky's the limit for us this year.
Grant, I can hear it in your voice, right, Junior?
Agreed.
You can hear it
in him. I can say it, yeah, 100%. You can definitely see it, and I think you guys have, you know, just as good a shot as anybody. There's obviously a lot of luck that needs to go into it as well, but you create your own luck, and you know, you bring a fast piece to the racetrack, and you know, a dedicated group of guys and can overcome stuff. Then, you know, I think that you know, the optics of it, from the outside looking in, I think in order to win the championship, you have to have those points in time and find the things that don't work, you know?
I
think that's the way that it is in this sport now. You know, back in the day with the old points championship style, before this whole playoffs and chase scenario, you needed to be uber consistent. And I think last year your season, you know, was exactly that, up until, you know, the point of the end of the chase. But if you look at, you know, what you guys have been able to do this year, you guys are taking risk. And I think that you need to be risk adverse, or you need to be able to take risks.
Yes.
And if you put yourself in those situations, then at the end of the day, you're going to have good results because you can make it through to the other side.
You need to capitalize.
Exactly.
And that's what I can see you guys doing. Jeff Hensley, all you guys, nailing those pit stops. And those are all the things that are going to make a champion. And, Grant, it's been a wild year. Like you say, no practice. You guys come out of the box, go on the track, and go see what you got. And you're doing it. And I know a number of the other teams are, too. It's going to be a wild playoff. Fans do not want to miss not one lap of any truck race. We wish you all the best, Grant, and I know we'll keep your spot shined up here on Racetime Radio. Next time you hit that successful spot, we're going to get you back on here. Sound good?
That sounds great, guys.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. Grant, thanks for the time. Get out there, and it's Bristol, baby. Good luck.
Thank you, my Canadian friends, and also thank you to everybody that allows us to do this. So Duke and Rhonda Thorson, Champion Power Equipment, Farm Paint, Mike Curb, and Curb Records. Thank you to everybody that makes this deal happen. So thanks again, guys.
You want to believe it. You watch that number 98. He is definitely going to play a factor in it, along with his Thor Sport teammates. And how about Raphael Lazard? Man, that Ford truck's coming on. You have a look at Stuart Friesen. He's had some decent results now. Watch for him to be strong. It's going to be amazing. The playoffs are going to be crazy in all three of NASCAR's top series. But we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about last night at Sunset Speedway for a few minutes before we get Andy Kamrath on. Stay with us.
Anytime at all.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quick Wick. They work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
So you know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's break this off.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Welcome back to Racetime Radio. I'm your host, Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the RTR studio. Let's dive in, shall we, to the APC race last night. It was the London Recreational 100. Also in attendance, the Super Stocks and the Oscar Modifieds. I'll tell you what, for all intents and purposes, It was a dynamite night of racing. First up, the Super Stocks did an amazing job. I really, really wanted to get the number 67, or pardon me, the 64 that won the race last night. Ryan Sample was the guy behind the wheel. He did a dynamite job. He and Kenny Grupe in that Ford Mustang warred it out, Junior. I'll tell you what, lap after lap, the 64 got the lead and he did not look back. I want to say there was only one caution in that whole race. The guys did a masterful job. Dynamite race. I really wanted to get Ryan here, but I'll tell you what, our time is just so jammed up tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, and we will be able to get him on.
Sure.
You know, after you know, there's just so much going on. Everybody's packing tons of stuff into the next couple weeks here. It's been just slammed, but definitely got the mention in there, from all accounts, that was one of the best races of the weekend at Sunset. Was the Thunder Cars. Was the Super Stocks, rather.
Right.
You know, when you look at the overall event, a ton of cars in the pit area, you know.
Oh, there was.
If there was people in the grandstands, they got their money's worth, and there was definitely a lot of intensity from each individual class that was there.
Now, the Modifieds was another dynamite race, and we are going to hear from the winner because we didn't hear from Andy the last time. So, Rye, don't feel bad. Andy got shut out, and he was 5 in a row. So now he is 6 in a row. We are going to have Andy Kamrath on, and we got to throw it back to Toronto here shortly to get you up to date on the news and highlights. Then we're going to come back. We'll have Andy, but we are going to try and slide the phone lines open for a few minutes as well. The APC series on social media today was taking a little bit of a kicking, so to speak. There was quite a few cautions in the APC race. Mm-hmm. Now, in saying that, cautions are part of this sport. Mm-hmm. I think where everybody was sort of coming unglued was the amount of time it was taking to realign the cars and to get them back under the green flag.
Agreed.
And I agree with a pile of the comments that were out there. I want to say this. When you have a tour like the APC series going from track to track, you got to remember that they are dealing with a different set of electronics at each track. Mm-hmm. I can speak to the electronics we have at Sauble Speedway. It's state of the art. We got all brand new stuff just last year. It does work flawlessly. And I might add, we had our scoring team at Sauble, along with the APC staff, to run the Sauble Speedway race that we just seen back in August. Last night at Sunset Speedway, I don't know, and I say that I don't know, if the Sunset contingent of the scoring department was in attendance. I don't know for sure. But you got to know that when you're talking electronics, things do happen.
Yep.
And when they happen and they go out of control, it takes the guys, and they want to make sure that everybody's in the right spot. But I say all that, and we are up along the spot where I got to throw it back to Toronto to get you up to date on the news. And it only takes like 90 seconds, and then we're going to be back with you for hour two, and we have a whole raft of guests. Let's throw it back to you, Scotty, in Toronto. We will be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're back with our number two of race
Time Radio.
With the two Joes.
Here on Race Time Radio.
On Sirius XM 167.
Where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. Let me tell you, first of all, who we got coming up in hour number two. We are going to hear from Andy Kamrath here in just a few moments. I did want to open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to call in. Believe me when I say we've only got a few minutes. Next week, we will open a bigger gap up that we're going to be able to, open the phone lines up and hear from more of you listeners. But just tonight, everything is jammed up. We're also going to hear from Cole Butcher tonight, winner of the Parts for Trucks Tour. It was the Jim Hallahan 250 in honor of Jim Hallahan. Jimmy is still with us. Kind of cool when you can do a tribute race like that. And, the person you're focusing in on is still part of us. And Jim was definitely part of that show out in Halifax at Scotia Speed World last night. We will hear from Cole Butcher that did go to Victory Lane. We'll also hear from New Brunswick driver Ashton Tucker. He's coming up in just a few moments. And we'll hear from Brandon Carlson, winner of the Canada 200 from Victoria, BC, out at Western Speedway. Again, a late race last weekend. And Brandon went to Victory Lane. We were already off the air by the time he took the checkered flag, and we want to definitely hear from Brendan here on this show. So that is all coming up in hour two, which we are now in. But as I was speaking about before we put it back to Toronto, the APC race, the London Recreational 100 that was at Sunset Speedway last night, for all accounts and purposes, the Superstock race pretty well went flawless. The 64 ended up winning the race. Awesome job by Ryan and the 36 of Kenny Group. What a battle at the end. And there was a ton of really good cars in that race coming through the field. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. The Oscar modifies also in the house. And it was Andy Kamrath going to Victory Lane. We got Andy coming up in give it 5 minutes, and we're going to have Andy on the hotline with us, and we'll talk about his race. But the APC race, cautions, and caution laps. Junior, you've seen it before. It happens. They want to realign the cars. They want to get them in the right spot. But in the same fashion, we were seeing five green flag laps, maybe six. Then the caution would come out, and they'd be under yellow for like 10, 12 laps.
Exactly. So now I've spotted for numerous races where this is happening, and there's nobody that does it better than NASCAR in any division when it comes time for limiting the amount of caution laps. And, you know, you can't be critical of a series without providing the solution to the issue.
That's
to
right.
To me. So to me, when I look at the APC series, really any traveling touring series, whether it be Oscar back in the day, whether it be All-Star back in the day, whether it be the Pro Stock Tour, whether it be the Cars Tour, CRA Tour down in the U.S., there is no substitution to hurrying that process up. That process is how you captivate your fan base, right? If you have long yellow flags for cleanup, then that's a different deal. If you have a car that's upside down and takes out five fence posts,
Everybody understands.
You can take your time. Make sure you get it done right. Make sure it's safe. Do it in a hurry, but I understand. If you have a car stacked on top of one another, you know, take your time. Get those cars off and do it safely and get out the other side. If the yellow flag comes out for a piece of debris on the racetrack and it takes you more than two laps to get it re-racked, cleaned up, and go, then you're going to lose your fan base.
That actually happened last night.
Exactly. So when you look at what the steps that NASCAR takes, and I use this very, you know, pointed towards all touring series. This is not just the APC series.
Right.
The coordination from the tower to the cleanup crew to the teams, all of that has to be interconnected.
Sure.
Now, APC mandates that you need to have a two-way communication or a one-way communication with that race tower.
Right.
And the race tower does a great job in the APC series of re-racking the cars. Now, it sometimes the electronics, you know, you got to go back to the last completed lap, however that works, right?
Right.
There's always a delay there. So the biggest thing that I can see from the APC series is that they do give a couple lap grace to a guy who goes off the racetrack and comes back on.
Sure.
So if you've got a flat tire,
if
you've got anything.
Two laps, that's it though.
That's it. That's it. And it can't be any more than that.
No.
So when the yellow comes out,
per car.
The pace car picks up the field and the next lap or as once it's safe to do so, pit road needs to open.
Sure.
When you look at relining the entire field, there's always confusion on the radio in the APC series, always. And,
yeah.
And I do not know the answer to that of why that is, but that is the root of the problem that needs to be addressed.
Well, there you go. Now, here is something that I can see, and this is a part of a solution. It was early in the day. I'm talking qualifying for the Superstocks hadn't even taken place yet. It was about to. I was standing there chatting with actually Mike Schmidt from London Recreation. And we were just talking about the day, talking about, of course, Flamborough coming up. And Mike had his phone and he goes, oh, scoring went down. So I can't see any of the lap times. So I knew then they were having issues.
Yeah.
What I'm going to get at here is when you're the premier series of Ontario, you need to have a backup contingent. What happens if the power goes out and you lose all your scoring? Or, I don't know, something just like happened yesterday. If you don't have a manual backup to what you got going on, it's like having two fire extinguishers to put a fire out. You're only going to use one, but you got the other one in case you need it. Same thing applies now with that scoring, and that was not there. So, you know, learn from it. Learn from it and carry it on. It was definitely an issue yesterday.
Yep.
And officiating. I've seen lots of comments about officiating. And that's not the first time. You see it all the time. Oh, the officials are blind. What were they watching? Get them in. It's true that, you know, everybody is affected by the officiating on those teams. But if the track is split into zones and you have the proper coverage and you've got human beings calling the race, there is or has potential to have mistakes. You got to be consistent. And I think that could be where maybe a little more attention needs to be paid.
Yep.
I did see some wacko calls yesterday, but I'm a guy sitting in the grandstand. I'm watching one specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are in control of the whole race.
Yeah.
So there's lots that can happen that can be missed. There is lots that does take place. And sometimes, and I hate to say it, but sometimes an official will think he's seen something and he's calling it like as if he saw something where, you know, you get a guy that wasn't even in contact with another that gets put to the back as an involved car.
Exactly. Yep.
And we've seen it. I've seen it. I've had officials do it.
But I've done it.
We
as a spotter, like I mean, people see stuff incorrectly sometimes.
Yeah. And you are looking at one car. That's the same as me. When I'm sitting in the grandstand, I'm watching this car. Now I might watch that car. But there's stuff happening.
But the official is doing the exact same thing, right?
That's right.
There's no way to watch the entire field.
Well, there is. There is, and I'm going to tell you there is a way, and that is when you take your official base and you split that track up.
Correct.
You can't be a fan at that point, everybody watching the same thing.
No.
You've got your zone to watch, and you watch that zone until the final car clears that zone. Then you can look around.
Yes.
Now you're a second set of eyes for the other guy that's watching his zone. But if you don't do that, you're going to miss calls, and it will happen, and it'll just keep happening.
Exactly.
So that's one way. That, as you mentioned, you better have a solution to everything that comes up. And that's one that I think would be helpful. And maybe that was the case. I don't know.
Yep.
But I'm saying that really needs to be done.
And to shorten up the process when it comes time for relining the cars.
Right.
And this goes back to the NASCAR comment.
it, when the white flag comes out in any NASCAR race, white flag comes out. I don't care if it's a half mile, if it's a third mile, or if it's a 2 mile racetrack. We're talking Cup. We're talking Xfinity. We're talking Whelen Modified.
Get in your spot.
No, when the white flag comes out, you double up, and that's when you go 2x2. So you're not gonna go around the racetrack, and then they show you the double up sign.
Right.
And then you go around the racetrack again and get the white, and then you go around the racetrack and take the green. In NASCAR, when they show the white, you just know you're doubling up. There's no questions on where you're going.
Right. That's
car in front of you.
System.
If the car in front, no, but that eliminates one full lap from every yellow flag.
Okay.
So think about one full lap. That's about 30 seconds around Sunset Speedway under yellow.
Yep.
Right? So probably closer to 35 seconds. If you eliminated, there was 14 cautions. If you eliminate 35 seconds from every one of those restarts,
yep.
That's a tremendous amount of time at the end of the day.
Sure is.
So it comes down to process and procedure. And that is one of the simplest things that they can do to shorten up everything that they do. The car in front chooses where he's going to go, and then everybody lines up behind it.
Well,
the third place car knows that he's going to start on the inside. The fourth place car knows that he's going to drive up to the outside. So why does it take 2 to 3 full laps to get
doubled
up?
In.
It doesn't make any sense. So that's why it's a constructive criticism as opposed to me bashing the series. The racing yesterday was great.
Sure it was.
The racing
when
between the 78 and the 9.
Yes.
And
when they were green.
Everything that took place at the end, I mean, was hard racing. The 78 did not wreck the 9. He didn't just hook him and then destroy
him. Well, there's all
him.
Kinds of opinion on
no,
that.
No, but
that's your opinion.
No.
There's all kinds that are different.
It wasn't, like, they were racing side by side.
I know they were.
And it was a racing deal. Like,
well,
if that is what people are bashing on social media,
it wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we do have to move on, and I know Sue is going to grab Andy Kamrath. We're going to talk to that modified winner. I'll tell you what, that was a dynamite race. We're going to catch up with him. While Sue grabs Andy, I do want to mention Hidden Valley Speedway in Pennsylvania had a incident where a driver was hurt. I believe two other track officials, one track official and a photographer, out by the infield light standard that would light up a turn. Our thoughts and prayers are with absolutely everybody. The Speedway, those officials, one injured real bad. The other one treated and released. I believe the driver had a separated shoulder. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, three people hurt. And accidents are going to happen at a Speedway. But when I hear that there was, a photographer and an official that was out that far, out by light standard, I got to say, Whelen makes beautiful caution lights. They do a dynamite job. I've seen it even at our racetrack where I've got officials that'll go out onto the Speedway. Not anymore. Take those people off the track unless they absolutely have to, and those cars are just about stopped. Mm-hmm. That's the only way an official needs to be out that close on the racing surface, and only one, so everybody knows where he is. Get the lighting. Get the stuff. Photographers, buy yourself a long lens. Get out of a situation where an accident could happen. Just our thoughts and prayers are with absolutely every one of them at Hidden Valley Speedway in Pennsylvania. Let's hope everybody pulls through and we can all learn from that and make racing safer everywhere. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in, how about a six-in-a-row winner in the Oscar Modifieds. I'll tell you what, that 89 car is dead nuts flying, and it looked fantastic yesterday. His name is Andy Kamrath, and he's with us now on the hotline. What's going on, Andy? How you doing, kiddo?
No, not too bad. Not too bad. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Man, what a race for you yesterday. You didn't start on the pole and then run away and hide. You had your work cut out. That 77 car was moving as well. Same with a number of other ones. That was a great race.
Yeah, they made us work for it pretty good there yesterday. We started fifth, and it was a bit of beat and bang in there, but did what we've always seemed to be doing lately and made our way up to the front.
Andy, I gotta ask you on the one restart. I know I was sitting there with Mike Campbell from El Grande, and I had Steve on the other side of me, and we're watching the race. And these two guys really hadn't seen the modifieds before. He said, "You gotta watch you. That Andy Kamrath, man, he has 5 wins in a row, and you know he's going to be gunning for the 6th one." It was that final restart, I believe, or the second restart. You guys only had 2 restarts, one or two of them, and it was one of them that I'm speaking of. It looked like the 77 had the lead when the caution came out. Did he get lane choice, and did he choose the high side and give you the bottom? Because if he did, man, did he make a mistake.
Yeah, so they, in Oscar there, they give you lane choice there. So he was taking the outside all night there, and when the caution came out, he pointed me to the bottom, and I was like, okay, well, as soon as we went to the bottom, then it was kind of game on, and so I knew we had good forward drive up off the bottom.
Well, the car really, really worked good on the bottom, and it didn't look like it was going to be maybe as stout on the outside, but the 77 looked really good out there. I thought, man, this is going to be interesting. And sure enough, after you took the bottom, the green flag came out. You were solidly in the lead of that race. And I do believe the 77 lost a couple of spots by the end of the race. How did it feel in that car? And where is the success coming from with 6 in a row, man?
Well, it was like in the car, we started off feature with a little loose in on entry. And I don't know what happened. Like, we were fast anyways, but about 15 to go, the car really, really started coming to life. And, you know, it's those guys seem to fall off a little bit more than what we do. Like, even, prime example, last 2 races, we didn't, you know, park the car on the pole or anything like that, but it just seems to have the consistency in it. So, you know, everywhere we seem to unload that thing, it seems to be pretty good. And, you know, I think some people would probably be a little bit surprised, thinking, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel. And it's just, it's a lot of stuff that just goes back and forth between, you know, me and Sean pretty much talk every day, just going over things. And, you know, Scott and Mike and Bob and, you know, Jeff's been out there at the racetrack helping us out too. And so it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's been excellent. Now, where is the car prepared? Andy, have you got it in your shop, or is it centralized with Sean's equipment? Whereabouts is that car prepped?
So it stays over at my place. Sean's got the late model down in Plattsville, and then the modified's up here. And I do pretty much all the week-to-week stuff, and then Sean, like, you know, whether it comes to a bit of setup stuff or if I need a hand with something or stuff like that, he comes down to my place here in Innisfil, and he can be a hand with it.
Quite a bit of work keeping up on that modified, or is it just nut and bolt each week and put the setup in it for the track applied and then go, or what's all involved?
Well, it's your regular nut and bolt. You know, it's no, like, really, those cars are no different than a, you know, besides a 604 to a 602, they're no real different than a pro late model or anything like that. So it's all your regular maintenance stuff and week-to-week stuff and throwing it on the scales and making sure everything's where it's got to be, and you know, just got to go through it, because nobody likes having stuff fall off at the racetrack.
No, not a good thing to happen. The success you have been going, and I go back here quite a few years, every now and then you would jump into the APC series and jump into one of the late models that come out of that LLR shop, and you'd have success, Andy. You've got a knack for jumping in and going, but this modified, you've really concentrated on this, and that's got to be bad news for these guys.
Yeah, we kind of back in 2016, I kind of left the late model scene for a couple of years, bought a house, and, you know, moved down to Innisfil here, and I guess had to grow up a little bit, and, you know, I stepped away from it and then got hooked up with Sean, and, you know, just took baby steps, a couple of APC races a year. 2017, we ended up winning one of them, and then we went and played with Fender cars for a year and won a pile of those, and then he ended up getting this modified together, and he ran it once or twice, and then said to me, "We need to jump on this thing one night," and I was like, "Okay, we'll give it a whirl," and they're a blast to drive. They really, really are.
Well, it looks like you're having a lot of fun in there, too, and winning's fun, and you're definitely having a blast at that. What's next for you, Andy Kamrath? You got more races slated. Where you go from here?
I think, well, we got next weekend we'll be over at Sunset. They got another mod race over there. And then we got to go back to Pass of the weekend after that with the mod. And then I think I might be too back on a Thunder car for Frosttoberfest here and see what happens there.
That kind of figured you wouldn't be sitting on the couch somewhere. That's just not like you.
No, we were going to take my Mini down and go down and have some fun with it and support that show down there for John, you know, John and Mike and everything like that. They're putting up some big money. So, you know, if they're, you know, sitting on the couch there for, you know, running for less money, you know, for everything that's going on right now, it's a big show with some big money. So I hope a lot of guys get out there and support it.
It's going to be dynamite. We're going to have it all live for you on Racetime Radio, and I know we're looking forward to it. Our first run of 2020. Can't believe it. Andy, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know we'll keep our peepers on you and see if you can get that seventh in a row. That's good. That's kind of a cool thing. I bet you you're shooting for all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time we unload at the racetrack, obviously we go to win and stuff like that. And only the problem is just that once you get five and then six, and then everybody's like, oh, are you going to do seven? I'm like, hold you. Got to end at some point in time in life.
yeah, but you got to love the pressure. You react good to it. Lots of sponsors on that car. You can really see the London Rack hanging off that quarter panel, but there's other ones on there.
Yeah, I got Mike. Mike's been with us for a long, long time. I got called to Mailrite Services. I got Super Clean Castrol Edge, Image Wraps, obviously, Havelock Steel Roofing there. All kinds of guys on the car that, you know, that help us out. Bennett helps us out with the motors and everything like that. So there's lots of guys that help us out and make sure we get to the racetrack all the time.
Well, you're doing them proud. I can guarantee you that. Thanks so much for the time tonight on Racetime. Keep it going. We'll get you back on here, brother.
No problem. Thanks, Joe.
You bet. That's Andy Kamrath, driver of the number 89 in that Oscar modified. Pay dirt, seven in a row. Let's see, is it coming? Seven? Can he do it? We'll find out. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, Cole Butcher, a winner of the Jim Hallahan 250 out in Halifax just last night. He's coming up.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoverfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
We are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. And back to the hotline we go. We bring in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour Race 1 winner for 2020. Just last night, it was the Jim Hallahan 250 at Scotia Speed World. Familiar face in Victory Lane. Driver, the number 53 for Atlantic Tilt Load. It is Mr. Cole Butcher, and we got him on the hotline. Cole, what's happening there, kiddo?
Not much, yourself?
No, just flying along here tonight. Busy show, and we got lots of winners. Man, you did it again last night. Take us through the race. I wish I could have seen it.
That was a pretty good race. We didn't have as much cars as we'd hoped for, but Jonathan, Ashton, Jarrett, all the top contenders were there, so I think we finished second in our heat, which put us third for the feature. We had the option to take the pole challenge, so we took that. Went to the back. I think it was $2,000 extra if we took it. So we figured, what the hell, just take it. And making our way back to the field, we actually had the left front upper control arm come loose, so we fought that for about 75 laps. We pitted around lap 50 and got it tight. But it wasn't right, so we had to just drive around for the first 125 laps. So we did that. We managed to get the fourth for halfway and then fix the problem, put tires, right side tires on. Came up fourth, and we were battling with Nicholas until lap 168, I think, and he made the mistake of he forgot we could choose, and the top was the place to be. So I was able to get him on the one of the final restarts, and we were able to drive away with the win.
Ah, that a boy. And you're good at that, Cole. You're good at adapting. You have, changing conditions, whether it's the track changing or the car, something will be happening. I've seen you in many races now. You don't really get rattled inside that race car. I know sometimes the verbiage starts flying, but really car control, you try and keep it under you until you can get an opportunity to turn it loose on that crew of yours, and magic happens. That's good.
Yeah, that was right. They were kind of doing a good job keeping me calm on the weekend because I knew it wasn't right, and I kind of wanted to pit it to get it fixed, but they maybe stay out till halfway. So good on them for keeping me under control. And, Dad and Greg and Pixie and my spotter, Craig Langell, they all kept me under control during that time period. So, I think if we pit it, we probably wouldn't want to lap down. So I guess it's a big shout out tribute to them.
That's an eventful start to the race.
I would say
it's not like you had like a little problem. Like that's a fundamental issue in the car. I imagine it was a handful to drive.
It wasn't that bad. I just made the car hit everywhere we were. But it happened last year too. So
really,
something I guess we need to look at a little bit closer.
Yeah, a little bit of Loctite goes a long way, huh? looking at everything that happened with the 250. Normally in the Pro Stock Tour or any of these series, you get a chance to, launch into the deal with a shorter race, and then you work towards a 250. I know you guys have raced like a handful of races, between Petty and 660 in the 100 to 150 lap range. But on the tour side, this is race number one, and to dive in with a 250 lap race it has to have a little bit of a different feel to it.
That was pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I guess the first race last year, Petty was 200. So, I mean, if you can do 150, you can do 250. So we did a 250 last week and 2 weekends ago in Fredericton, and we finished second to Ashton there. So I guess we did have a 250 under our belt this year, and then next week gotcha. We go 200 at the Mike Stevens Memorial.
Yeah, and there is word that Riverside International Speedway is going to come out with something. We haven't heard anything official yet other than the potential for the September 26th date. We are waiting on all of the details to come out, but that's got to be welcome news, too, because now you've had success there.
Yeah, we've been pretty good there. I know Donald and I have been working really hard to get the track approved for one event in September, so I believe they got the go-ahead as of SCOSUS, so they're going to do the best they can with all the restrictions they have, and I know they're going to put on one good show for the fans.
So we've got, you mentioned it, the Mike Stevens Memorial coming up, Riverside. Anything south of the border, is that right out of the question? Is it still closed up your way, or can you sneak across and get down there and run some of those iconic shows that you love running at and do well at?
Yeah, we'll definitely be at the Derby. The All-American's up in the air. But, no, we can get across just staying at home for 2 weeks when you get home. So, no, we can get there. That's not a problem. We'll be down with Wilson Motorsports either for two races or just for the one. But, it's all up in the air right now, and I guess we'll figure it out as it goes.
Cole, you do a great job when you get behind the wheel. And those races down there, you know, maybe off the start, maybe they were and maybe they weren't intimidating to you with the cast of characters you jump in with. But that sort of end of it is out the window. Now you go down there with some confidence, a little hitch in your giddy up, if you will, and for good cause. You've sat at top of the pole of some iconic races and ran well.
Yeah, we've run well. I mean, it helps when the Wilson Motorsports gives us really good race cars, and you know, we don't run a lot of super late model races, so that's the only downfall between their tire and their the difference in horsepower. But other than that, it's still the same. You're turning left, you're trying to go as fast as possible for 400-300 laps straight. So as long as you're good mentally and physically and they give you a good car, you should be able to do the rest. But there's so many variables coming to all those races. It's just anything can happen.
So you got, you know, the Mike Stevens Memorial. There's no doubt in the world that the number five, Jonathan Hicken, is the man to beat there. Or hold on a second, maybe it's Ashton Tucker, because that guy has turned the wick up and you ran against him just last night. What do you think? What do you think of your chances at that Mike Stevens Memorial? You ready to go charge it and put all those guys?
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. We got a handful of wins at Petty anyway. So we've been trying some stuff all year, and we finally went back to what works at Scotia, and we'll figure out what we want to do for Petty. We got some options with chocks or motors and all that fun stuff. So I mean, it's kind of a headache, honestly, racing all these different rules. So, but no, we'll figure it out. They've been strong all year, but we're going to be strong when it counts.
That's the stuff. You got to have confidence, and I know you guys have got it, and for good cause. How did Jarrett make out? I haven't seen anything. I wasn't able to listen to it. I know Tim and Dylan were on the air with the show. I missed all of it. How did Jarrett make out in that 54 car?
He had a good car. He was in the 33 car this weekend. We did a throwback paint team with Jim Hallahan. So he was the orange 33. But no, he got fifth. I honestly thought he had a better car than me, but I guess a little bit less experience and a little bit less patience. He's got a little rough with some characters. But, you know, he was there and they knew he was there. So, I mean, 2020 is kind of a write off. So I guess it's. Doesn't really matter, but he'll be strong for next year.
Well, technically, he did have a better car than you for the first 100, or for the first half of the race, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to seeing what you guys can put together. And, man, thank you very, very much for all you guys do out there. You guys are putting on lots of content for us race fans to talk about. And it's been fun to watch the East Coast really this season, because there's been a lot of racing taking place and really taking the lead for the entire country on how to race through this pandemic. So hats off to all you guys, and looking forward to seeing what you guys can put together in the Stevenson Memorial.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne Smith, Donald Chisholm, Cecil Vance, they've all been getting together and trying to make all this happen, so we can't thank them enough. I know the Roys and Fredericton, so you know, it's all those guys that are giving us the place to race, and honestly, they're paying good, and the car count's been fairly decent, so hopefully this carries on to many more years.
You want to believe it. Cole, congratulations on the Jim Hallahan 250 win. You earned it, my friend. Good luck, and we look forward to getting you back on here.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me, and hopefully we'll see you eventually.
You betcha. That's Cole Butcher, driver, the 53. A little dyslexia maybe popping into my mind tonight. He did a great job in that Jim Hallahan 250. One night, we got to get Jimmy Hallahan on here and talk to him not only about a very historic career in motorsports and all he's done on the East Coast of Canada, but talk to him about that particular race. I know it'll be a shining moment. I was back and forth with Ken Cunning today, asking him how things went, and he said it was kind of cool. Jim and his wife were watching the races, and his grandson was actually running in one of the undercards, and so it made it an exciting time for them guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a tremendous amount of characters within the sport, are so instrumental in everything that you know this sport has become. And you look at it, I know at Sauble Speedway and at Sunset Speedway, they had the Zardo, the Big Z,
yep,
46 lap races.
Yep.
It's not a memorial because Big Z is still there. He's still turning wrenches.
I was with him yesterday.
Exactly. It's not a memorial race. It's a tribute to the guy, you mm-hmm. know, and we see a lot of memorial races in racing. In fact, Cole just touched on it. The Mike Stevens Memorial. It's a memorial race. There's a lot of value to having tribute races.
Yes.
And they mean something.
Yes.
You know, Junior Hanley, I mean, I think every track should have a Junior Hanley Memorial because the guy is such a king.
Tribute.
You know,
a
tribute. Not a memorial.
Not a memorial. Junior was there yesterday, too.
No, but that's what I mean. A tribute race.
Yes.
It's not as common to see it. And obviously, you know, Bill Zardo, iconic in all forms of late model racing in Canada and the U.S.
Sure.
But, you know, and Hallahan is no different. It's, you know, a staple in the sport. You know, it's very powerful with these tribute races. And I think that there's more room for it. You know,
and
on the education portion to the fan base that maybe don't know these guys, you know, if you just, you know, became a fan of the sport or just bought a car, you don't necessarily know coming into it who Junior Hanley was or who Bill Zardo was or you know what I mean, or who they were as a competitor.
Right.
Don Biederman. Right. That is a memorial race. Rick Wallner Memorial. Those are memorial races, and there's a little bit of a different storyline, but I think that there's tons of room to have these tribute races.
There is lots of room. Seen Bill Zardo yesterday, Junior Hanley yesterday, both in the pits at the APC race, and actually Bill was talking about he wanted to be at the Jim Hallahan 250, but with COVID, he got shut down, and he couldn't do the 14 days, same as us. But we are waiting on Ashton Tucker to be on the show. He is up next. He will be joining us here in mere seconds. Just got a text from him. Are we still on tonight? Absolutely, Ashton. You are being dialed up as we speak. But you know what? You're right. To have those tribute races, there is room for it,
and
we need to.
Like, who would be on your list as tribute races? Like, Dave Franks, I think.
Dave
I think
would
a tribute
one.
Race for
yes.
Dave Franks would be massive. Now, like, it's based here in Ontario, right? A Dave Franks tribute race, a Junior Hanley tribute race, that is something that would stand out. Stompin' Tom Walters, you know, I think is another name that you know, could be an amazing tribute race. There are so many instrumental, and I think there's value in it.
Sure there is. East to west, coast to coast here in Canada. Hey, what do you say we bring in the Remax 250 winner from Speedway 660 just a week ago, right around this time last Sunday night? It was Ashton Tucker in the number two for Brad Siliker Motorsports going to Victory Lane, and we got him on the hotline a little bit late. But we still got you there, Ashton. How you doing, bud?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad at all. Man, you sounds like you had a real good Jim Hallahan 250 last night, too. You've been a busy cat behind the wheel of that, too.
Yeah, no, we were just going there yesterday to get some seat time. We weren't really expecting much, hoping for a top five or something, but carrying and being pretty good, and we had a pretty good run in it.
Yeah, well, you turned some heads, I can tell you that. I was back and forth with a few guys from out there, and they said, hey, this Ashton Tucker dude, he's the real deal. You got her done yesterday, and you went up against some of the best drivers possible in the Maritimes, and you have for a number of weeks, be it at Petty, be it at Speedway 660, and that Remax 250. That sounds like it was a whale of a show, too. Take us back through the race. How did it all unfold?
We got a pretty good starting spot in that race, and we just took our time and finally got to the front. Just, I don't know, we're a tough car. We're a good car all night and managed to pull off another win.
Now, Speedway 660 actually is your home turf, right? That's where you cut your teeth? Or was it Petty International Raceway?
No, when I first started racing, we raced at Speedway 660 full-time in the Bandos. Then 2 years later, we started racing some at Petty, but 660 I consider the home track.
And you definitely know your way around there. What's it feel like going up against guys like Lonnie Somerville and actually topping him in one of those iconic 250s?
Well, it's pretty cool. I know there's a lot of good names and a lot of good drivers in that race. And a lot of people have been trying to win them for years, and to win it the last 2 years has been a pretty good feeling.
Looking at your program, obviously you've been strong over the past couple of years. You've got some good results last year. You've got, you know, decent results the year prior. You've been really, you know, picking it up. Heading into this season, I would put you in a dominant category where you have, you know, had speed at every single racetrack that you've unloaded at. Did you find something? Did you get better? Did the team get better? What's the magic sauce in what you guys have going on with that two car right now?
Well, to be honest, I'm not real sure. I know we got a bit more confidence after we finally pulled off our big win there last year in the 250, and that helped us a lot. But starting out this year, we started the year off strong, and I don't know, we just put a lot of time in the car and try our best each week and try to see what we can pull off.
I can well imagine, Ashton, you're going to be heading off to that Mike Stevens Memorial at Petty International Raceway. That's probably next on your calendar, I would guess. And how about Riverside on the 26th of the month? Have you ever gone around Riverside in a sportsman car?
Yeah, Riverside, we ran it a few times in pro stock, but sportsman, no. And our next race will be the Mike Stevens. We need to try and go get a win there. I think we had a good car last year, and we probably should have been up front contending, but had a lot of issues, so hopefully get back and be back at the front this year.
Now, you know you're going to be up against that pesky PEI guy, that number 5, Jonathan Hicken, will probably be at that race, and there's no way around seeing the success that guy has had at that track, but we know now from this year that you really like competing against that guy at that track. Is it as clean a race as what we kind of think it is?
Oh, Jonathan, he's really good at that track, and it's always a good race when we go up against him. He's tough to beat, and it always comes down to the wire at the end when you're battling against him, and I love racing against him, but hopefully we can go back there this weekend and one-up him this weekend to beat him.
Ah, there you go. That's what it's going to take, and I'll tell you what, the fans are going to get their money's worth. Kind of cool getting you on here again tonight. How's the sponsorship on that, too? Are you making any headway?
Oh, yeah, we got some sponsors on board. White Lightning, they help us out a ton. Big Cam, Fern Rob, JTR, Baisley's Construction, Sunny Corner Enterprise, Post-Tech, NBCSA, Roy Brothers Construction, they help us out a lot, and Ray's and Big Wheels Auto Sales, they all help us out a ton.
Good deal, brother. Good on you. Good running this weekend in the Jim Hallahan 250, and congratulations on that Remax 250 win at Speedway 660. Much continued success. We'll have your number. We'll get you back on this show as things unfold here. Still got a few more to go, bud.
Okay, sounds good.
Perfect. That's Ashton Tucker, driver of the number 2 from New Brunswick. Turning heads, lighting the lamp, and watch out for him. I can imagine Hickens going, okay, bring him on. I can't wait.
Are you seeing a trend right now? And I had a conversation with a guy at Jocasa about this. Are you seeing a trend of young, talented race car drivers that are very quiet and calm? Like, look at the 9 of Brandon Watson. Look at Ashton Tucker. Look at
Corey Hall.
Look at the 53 of Cole Butcher, even. He's very, very quiet-mannered. Austin McDonald is another one. Look at there's a little bit of a look to what everything is happening right now.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a trend there.
Watch.
They're not yelling and screaming, and nope. they're not hyper. Albert Francis, the guy that I'm working is very similar. They're so calm, so chill. But when you strap a helmet on them, they become an animal.
Yeah, they do. We're going to hit this final break of the night. When we come back, off to British Columbia. It is Victoria, BC. We're going to talk to the Canada 200 winner from Victoria just last weekend. We got Brandon coming up. Brandon Carlson, driver of the 14. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. This is Tom Walters, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work. No paper or kindling. And presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Oh, man, it feels so good to be back with all of our listeners on Sirius XM on a live basis. We haven't been live with you guys since this pandemic started back in March. But we can forget all of that now. Pandemic's still here. But Racetime Radio is now live at 7 p.m. Eastern every Sunday night, unless we get bounced because of some live sports thing. But we will be with you. Let's go back to the hotline, shall we? Speaking of COVID and races getting canceled, it's been hell on wheels out at Western Speedway as well. They also affected by the pandemic, as all of us have been. They lost all their races except for the iconic Canada 200. It took place last Sunday night, and going to Victory Lane for the first time, I do believe. I only seen the stats from 2018 and back to 1972, and I can't recall seeing a Brandon Carlson on the list until last Sunday night. He joins us now on the hotline. What's going on, Brandon? How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, my friend. Hey, congratulations on that huge win. Was that number one for you?
Yes, sir, it was. That's I've been trying since 2008 to get my name on that trophy, and that was the first time we've been able to do it.
So cool. It was carried live coast to coast on Rev TV and checks, of course, out in Victoria. I was watching Junior and I hit the show, finished it off, and booked it so we could watch the Before I'm Gone feature, and then, of course, right into the race. We were glued to the tube, and I got to tell you, what was it? Right around that 150 mark, you got tied up in one, and I didn't think you were going to be at the front at the end of that one, brother.
Yeah, it was just a deal where we were paired up on the cone restart with Dave Hemrick, and I thought Dave spun the tires, and I arced her down in the corner, and he was just clipped my bumper cone, and we locked together like street stocks do sometimes, which is kind of odd. And then kind of got unhooked down the back straightaway in a shower of sparks, and we lost the left rear tire and a fender. But other than that, it obviously didn't seem to hurt the car too much, and we restarted to the back and kind of just started picking our way back forward.
Yeah, it was dynamite to watch. I can guarantee you that. Anybody that's seen it will attest to it. To see the 14 charge his way back through was really, really cool to watch. If you haven't seen the race, get to Rev TV. I can well imagine it will re-air at some point. You want to see the Canada 200. Brandon, what a race. What a racetrack. It looks like a difficult place to get a handle on, a real flat track.
Yeah, I mean, it's 0.4 of a mile, but it is pancake flat. Some say, the Southerners say that the banking actually goes the wrong way.
Saint Eustache West. That's what it is. Saint Eustache West. It seems like a carbon copy of the two racetracks. Sorry to interrupt you there. There's an off-camber corner at Saint Eustache as well, over in Quebec.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of that place, and this is definitely flat. It's got just a tickle of banking, but it's so line sensitive, which makes it really hard to get back to the throttle. Like when I was racing Daryl at the end there, it was such a good side-by-side battle because I could roll and he would get pinched down and couldn't get back to the gas like he needed to. And that's why it puts on great racing for a flat racetrack.
Brandon, I know this is your iconic biggest win with the Canada 200, but there's no doubt I have seen your name and results over the years. How long have you been in this game and driving one of those late models?
About 2007, I started running late models on the West Coast, and I've been around late model racing with Daryl Midgley my entire life, so I've been to a lot of racetracks. Just in part, thank you to Daryl, is because we could put my car in the trailer and go to great places like Redding, California, or Tucson, or Las Vegas, and Wenatchee, and all those great tracks up and down the West Coast. I've been running limited late models since about 2007 and super late models since about 2014.
Well, I'll tell you what, this was a big win, and you got a lot of great racetracks out there in BC. Williams Lake is out there. You got Gold Pan Speedway. There's lots of Quesnel is another one. It's just a lot of great racetracks that we really need to start doing our homework on. How about series-wise? When things are normal, is there a series that you guys run in now? I know we used to cover, like, the ARCA West, and that was you guys.
Yeah, we used to run the Katana Boat Series. Was really big for about 5 years. Kind of right now, there's the Tri-Track Northern Series at those three tracks you just listed, Quesnel, Williams Lake, and PG. And they got a great following of late models up there, a little bit different tire. And then there's not really a specific series in the south, southern BC, other than at Western Speedway, we have the Keg late model series, which features twin 50 races four times a year, and then followed up by the Canada 200, which has not, which isn't a points race. But we run run late models. We get about 14 to 20 cars regularly, which is pretty good for an island in Canada.
Right.
And we run twin 50 main events, so it's with heat races too. So it's a lot of action and a lot of fun.
Yeah, good deal. And hopefully in 2021, things get back to somewhat normal and we can get these series back on the racetrack. What's your plan moving forward? You got any more races this year?
No, you know, normally we're working feverishly to get our super late models ready for winter racing in Tucson, Arizona. For the last couple of years, Daryl Midgley and I have been running all their winter races from about October to the end of January. But, you know, with the border lockdown, we can't get our cars across the border, and renting cars isn't in the cards. So we're probably just going to take the winter off, I think, for the first time in 5 or 6 years.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Reload and get ready for 2021 and come out with a bang.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of improved our program during COVID here and ran two races. We ran the Gordie Manas in Penticton and had a really successful weekend there. And then, obviously, the Canada 200. So we feel like we're riding this high of momentum right now.
Well, that's awesome. You'll be able to ride that all the way through the off season as the Canada 200 winner. That's a pretty special deal. Bud, we can't tell you how much we appreciate the time on Race Time tonight. I'm going to save your number. I know we're going to be in touch lots through the offseason and see how the plans are coming.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You betcha. That is Brandon Carlson, winner of the Canada 200. Dynamite job.
A great job for those guys. I would put that race, and Jason White and I were actually talking about this. The APC race from last night and that race ran very similar. There was a ton of yellow flags in that race.
There was.
But that being said, it was still a great finish. There was still an awesome platform. We were entertained. It was It was a great race to watch, and hats off to Rev TV and those guys. I tell you what, the main announcer in that deal has got a bright future, and Jason White and I were talking about that. The main announcer that covered that sport, and to be honest with you, I don't know his name offhand here, but the anchor was spectacular. Those guys did a great job, and same with the camera angles as well, and looking forward to seeing more from Western Speedway and from the Canada 200.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, but you know what? That's going to do it for us tonight on Race Time Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back. Sirius XM Channel 167. Got to thank Susie Q right here. Probably Scotty back in the Toronto studio. And we will have Autumn Colors Classic updates next week, hopefully, on the show. We'll get JP, owner of Peterborough Speedway, to join us, and we'll take you through everything. But that does it for us. Have a dynamite week. We'll catch you next Sunday night, right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.